I'm trying to take in the scene. As Pastor Ben said, I was here, I don't even recall how many years ago, but before I met him, today is my first time I met you. He came after I left Home of Christ, but it's always good to be back, and actually I was a little bit early because I want to kind of look around the place. Building-wise, it's still the same, but I saw there are many improvements, like there are signs out there, like where's the bathroom, where different buildings were. And it indicated the Lord has been blessed this church, and I'm so grateful. I bring greetings from my family. My wife could not be here. We have our church service in the afternoon. So she said, I don't want to ride with you for 2 hours because it takes an hour to get here. And then I sit there and listen to you again because she has to listen to me every week. And then get home and then in the afternoon repeat the same thing. But she sent her greetings to you. And some of you I met before while I was pastoring here. So I look at you and I'm so grateful all of you have grown. So to be a godly woman, godly man, and it remind me of my two daughters. Some of you don't know. I have two daughters. One lives in California. She had two kids. So I'm a grandpa. So you can tell I'm pretty old. And my other daughter right now lives in New York, but she's going to move in to Philadelphia soon. So I'm going to see her in counting the days, in the 27th of this month. So we're going to spend a week with her. But anyway, it's enough of telling my history. I think the Lord has been impressed upon my heart when I'm so grateful to be invited back to share the Word of God with you. What should I share with you? And I thought of a very familiar passage because I got a reminder that the church has been going through a theme, which is the Great Commission. And anytime we thought of a Great Commission, we thought, oh, not that again. It's something that since we become Christians, this is something that we all being reminded we need to do. It is a commandment, but yet I think anytime we thought of commandment, behind it, why we are doing what we do is very important. As I said, I have two girls and I have two grandkids. You tell them what to do, the very usual response is, why? I was having dinner with my grandkids yesterday and they'd be pepping me with a question, why? Grandpa, why? So I had to try to explain why. And I hope today we're going to look at type two passages, but we're going to focus on Mark. But when we said we want to share what God had done in our lives, whether through words or through our testimony or through how we lived, that's part of the great commandment that great commission that we live our lives. It's really important: is what and who are we talking about? If we understand that, it'll become a much easier, but at the same time, it'll encourage us how to live our lives daily, okay? So what I'm going to do, which is I've been doing in the churches that I've pastor, is that since you come, you're not coming to listen to me, Okay, I hope that's made clear. You're not listening to some guy who had white hair standing up here and just babbling. But I'm sharing with you the word of God. And it has power. It has effect. So if I could ask for those of you who can, when we read the word of God together, that you stand. So can you stand together and read? We're going to read two passages, but I'm going to focus on Gospel of Mark. Let's read together, chapter 8, verse 23. As he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and a great storm developed on the sea, so that the waves began to swamp the boats. But he was asleep. So they came and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us. We are about to die." But he said to them, "Why are you cowardly, you people of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it was dead calm. And what sort of person is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him. On that day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go across to the other side of the lake." So after leaving the crowd, they took him along just as he was in the boats, and other boats were with him. Now a great windstorm developed, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was nearly swamped. But he was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. They woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are about to die?" So he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be quiet, calm down." Then the wind stopped. It was dead calm. And he said to them,
"Why are you cowardly? Do you still not have faith?"
They were
even
the wind and the sea obeyed him. Okay, you be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. There's a saying, a picture is worth than a thousand words. So I want to share a short video with you. We act the passage we just read. It's a movie called Jesus. It was taken from that movie. And in the meantime, I changed my glasses.
And as they were sailing, he fell asleep. Where is your faith?
The movie adopts the passage in the gospel. So actually what happened on that day, I want to walk you through together that really when we think of the God we said we trust and we love, reflecting who he is and what he has done, and also how does it impact our lives. And I hope through the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, we can look at the from three areas that how it could impact us. First, from 35 to 36, in the history of mankind, that was such a particular day that it's just a day under the sun. Okay, and we look together at that. And then, when that day come to an end, that suddenly have a turn of events that, in a way, that happened to all our lives. It impact us when their normal day and suddenly things happened. And after that, through that particular event, our Lord Jesus taught the disciples, I hope today also teach me and teach you, that it truly is about a faith, or a lesson on faith, and how through that event, our faith, we reveal who and what we believe. Okay? So I hope that's what we're going to go along as we study this passage together. First, it's a day under the sun. It is like business as usual. This morning, I said I came a little bit early because it's not business as usual for me. It's something unique, something different. So, but normally, every Sunday, I got up, I do my normal things, you know, and then get prepared to go to our church service, which is our church meet in the afternoon because we started the church 3 years ago, and we meet in Castro Valley. We rented a place in an American church that they have a small chapel that we use in the afternoon. So it's business as usual. In the passage we just read together, Matthew and Mark, you talk about how that is business as usual because the pastor we just said, Jesus have been doing his things that particular day for a long day. Because it said he's been sitting in the boat teaching the people. And we know the scene in Palestine. It's hot. It's not like we sit in a nice building that had a covering. He's sitting in a boat. And so he's been doing what? It's a business as usual. Why does he sit on the boat? Because we know in that day he began to teach. That's what Jesus has been doing ever since he came to this earth, the last 3 years of his life. He's been going around to share the message of God. So he's been teaching, and mostly, it's very interesting, if you read the gospel, a lot of occasion that he did his teaching is he's in a boat in the Lake of Galilee. Okay? So if you go back, if you have a chance, go back to read the Gospel of Mark. You know, before chapter 4, chapter 3 tell us that Jesus was teaching in the boat. Okay? And usually the reason he teaches, there's a lot of people. I look out. I just told you I have to change my glasses because I need to read my notes. But before that, I didn't because I wanted to look at your face. When I have this reading glasses, you are just a blob to me. I can't distinguish whether your eyes open or closed. So if you're sleeping, I have no idea. But you know, but if you read through the scripture, he said, whenever he's sitting in the boat, because there are a lot of people, and I'm looking out, I'm so thankful that the Lord blessed the ministry under Pastor Ben that it had grown. It's almost full. You know, when we started, that wasn't that case. But God had been faithful. I'm thankful for the worship team lead us through those songs. So the scene is set for you. It's a very normal day that Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark and Gospel of Matthew, said he's been teaching in a lake in the Sea of Galilee while sitting in the boat. And why does he do that? Gospel tell us for one reason. The Gospel of Mark, in the beginning, chapter 1, you realize he's very busy. He's doing all the things, and then he's healing, he's teaching, and then in chapter 1, he healed mother-in-law of Peter. And then the teacher, next day, he got very early to go out and pray, right? You remember that story? And then the disciple woke up and trying to find him. And then later on, he found him and said, "Hey, we've been looking for you." And Jesus replied in chapter 1. He said, "Well, let's go somewhere." He said, "Hey, why? We've been doing great. A lot of people coming and seeking your help." And what did Jesus say? "Let's go because I can go in other place to preach and teach about God. And that is the reason I'm here." Isn't that what the great commission for us? Through our lives. And that's what Jesus has been doing throughout his life. And in that particular day, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, he's doing the same thing. Business as usual. You got up this morning. For you, business as usual. Eat breakfast, get ready to go to church. And so when, at the end of that day, been a long day, have you ever had those feelings after you work a long day, whether in your job, or whether you're a student who studies so hard for your SAT test, I don't know what those are already, or for your AP course finals, you know, you've been studying so hard, you say, "Oh, I need to relax." And that's what Jesus was doing. He was saying that, "Hey, it's been a long day." So Jesus exhausted. So he tells the disciple in verse 35 and 36. He said, "Hey, let's go across to the other side of the lake." Why? So nobody will bother him. So they need a place to relax, recoup. Right? So as the followers of Jesus, what are you supposed to do? "Come on, Jesus. Let's stay here. It's too long a day. I don't want to roll to the other side. You know? Let's just stay there." But just like Jesus talked to us, when he tells us to do something, he's asking his obedience. So the disciples didn't say, "Oh, no. Here is okay. Let's stay another day." Jesus said, "Let's go over." They didn't question. They obey, right? They follow. If that is the case, things should go smoothly. But sudden turn of events, sudden things happen that their usual day changed. Because verse 37 and 38 tell us, now a great windstorm developed. Now these people are fishermen. They live by fishing in the lake of the Sea of Galilee, in this lake. So they have been through all sorts of storms. So it shouldn't make them afraid. Shouldn't think I can't handle. But this particular day, the event changed that make it unusual. Because it's the windstorm developed and the waves were so big that the boat was overwhelmed, meaning it's taking in water, it's going to sink. Wow. And so, no problem. Jesus is with us. Let's just have him take care of us. But the problem is, he's too tired. He's been teaching whole day. Haven't taken any rest. No lunch break. He's sleeping. So if that is the case, I ask myself, and I also raise the question to you. They decide to go over to the other side. Is that their choice? No. It's Jesus' request. Did they raise any objection? No. So they obediently follow Jesus. So if that's the case, we're going to look at the reason the storm happened. But remember I told you, these disciples, they are fishermen. They did this particular lake. They know every single inch of the shoreline and the topography. Then if that is the case, why they couldn't handle? And why suddenly there's storms? Now, this particular... Oh, I'm trying to think. The screen behind me is on your two sides. If you look at it, it is very interesting topography. The highest peak, Mount Hermon, is about 72,000 feet above sea level. Okay? And the Sea of Galilee is about 700 feet below sea level. So what does it do is the cold air come down from the mountain, and then warm and moist air goes up from the Sea of Galilee. When they mix, it become turbines, it become great winds. And it always happens because they're mountains surrounding the Sea of Galilee. The reason I give you this picture is that it's nothing unusual. Sudden windstorm happened in the Sea of Galilee. So they see that before. But then this particular one is totally different. In such a way that this sudden turn of events make them lose control. The boat suddenly came with so much water. So their reaction is, where's Jesus, our teacher? We need him to help. But he's sleeping. Seems like he doesn't care. Nothing is afraid. We are afraid, but he's just... I was talking to my grandkids. Because next week, I'm going to have them for 4 days. Because my daughter is going on her 37th birthday. And then my wife asked, are you going to sleep with grandpa or you going to sleep by yourself? They say, oh, I'm going to sleep by myself. Reason? He said, grandpa snore. At that time, the event changed. What is normal to them become abnormal. What is things that they always could control now seems they lose their control. Based on their experience, they thought they could handle, but it's not. Last night, before I went to bed, I got an email. The email is, one of my former church members died. well, I'm old, so my former church members slowly will die. But this is a sudden event. He and his wife and his daughter were driving to Los Angeles. They have an accident. So he passed away. I thought of his wife and his daughter, they both in the car. Maybe it's business as usual, they're going down to LA. I don't know why they go to LA. They may have some planned, but things suddenly lose control. Same thing happened in the lives of these disciples. In the day that Jesus doing his usual thing, teaching in the Sea of Galilee. So when they find they lose control, and what the scripture really telling us, not just looking at the event, but what's behind it. Why are they saying, teacher, don't you care? They're questioning, is this God that I put faith in? Is someone I could trust? But we look at, very interesting, if we look at what happened here is, you know, the storm came, is really help us to see the reason they felt they lose control. Is it, teacher, don't you care? Is they see what's happening in front of them, the environment, the event, the circumstances, is the real thing. But they forgot the reality of God's word. Remember, when we read the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35, on that day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciple, what? Let's go over to the other side. So who said this? Jesus, right? So if Jesus said, we're going to go over to the other side, do you think they cannot get over to the other side? That's the question. They see what's happening, but they didn't listen to the reality of God's word. If God is with them, will he ever let them face the reality, what they perceive? Greater than they can handle. Greater than the reality of who God is. No. But they are being consumed. They're overwhelmed by what is happening in front of their eyes. I share my former members passed away. You don't know him, but I knew him. He'd been struggling all his Christian life because he's a recovering addict. And yet the reality of God is with him every single day during his struggles. Now, I have no idea why God decided to take him home the past Friday, 2 days ago. But I do know the reality of God's word, that he is in the presence of God, no longer struggling with the temptation and the challenge that he faced every single day. So I hope as we're looking at this familiar passage, thinking of what I'm supposed to tell people about Jesus, we got to see the reality. It's God's word is where we can rely on. Not how much I could tell them, how well I'm telling them, but through my life, as I lived, the word of God flow through me. And that's what Jesus is teaching these disciples. So why does he let them have a good day and then suddenly things change? First, they forgot who told them, let's go over to the other side. And then sometimes storm came, not because we disobey God, but because of our obedience. They follow God. And yet, God led them through into the storm. You're very familiar with the passage in Jeremiah. For I know that what I have planted for you, says the Lord. I have planned to prosper you, not to harm you. I have planned to give you a future filled with hope. Some of you know when I was serving in Home of Christ, my wife been sick ever since she left Home of Christ. She had an illness that we couldn't diagnose for a long time. So I actually have to stay home, take care of her 24 hours a day for 3 years. It's very hard if you don't know what's wrong with you. You don't know what to do. I have asked many times God, why? I'm serving you. Why this happened? And time again, Jesus said, do you trust me? I said, yeah, but, the very famous word, but, why don't you just tell me? And through those, I'm glad, now we're looking back, I'm glad God made her sick. He said, Pastor, you're not very nice. Why? Because during her sickness, she got to stay home, do nothing, because I have to do all the housework. She got to just study God's word. And through those 3 years, she read through the Bible from beginning to end in its original language. So he had a notebook. He had 66 notebooks that written down all she learned from those 66 books. So that's why she's studying now. My wife is studying. She's in her almost 70s. I hope, and I told her, by God's grace, can you finish your PhD when you are 70? She's 68 now. I believe God had a plan for us when we're going through things. When we obey to Him, when we obey, not that we don't have problems. Sometimes we even have more problems from the perspective of mankind. But really, it is not God lead us into something we can't handle. As Jeremiah reminds us, He lead us to a future filled with hope. And then, why business as usual, sudden things happen. At the end, God wants us through Gospel of Mark to see it is really talking about an issue that is central to our lives. Is what kind of faith do we have? See, the video I share with you, it's very interesting. Tell when Jesus woke up, you know, Jesus didn't just get up and say, you. Why don't you? And then just give them a big lecture. No, he didn't do that. The Bible said he got up and took care of the problem first, right? He rebuked and he calmed. So it's very interesting. The word rebuke is really talking about when Jesus, when he was walking on this earth, demons that came upon people, make them sick, make them having a hard time in life. And that's where Jesus rebuked them. Come out is the same word. And why does Jesus, when he was in the boat with the disciple, they're going through difficulties. First and foremost, Jesus revealed who he is. He rebuked the wind. He said, that word is cast out demon. So what he tells us theologically, he has power over spiritual matter. Why waging windstorm? Yes, geographically, typography tell us it will happen naturally. But then our Lord is the one who created heaven and earth. He also controls heaven and earth. So nothing happened beyond his control. So what is happening? Jesus do this to teach. Instead of telling them, I am who I am, he do his action. They know who he is. He has power over spiritual matter. Second, he calmed. Have you ever go to an ocean when there was windstorm and tell them, shh? You ever try? That's what Jesus did. When he said, calm down, basically he said, have you ever tried to tell kids? Shh. I tell my grandkids when we're in a certain place, don't be so loud. Why? They question you all the time. But Jesus isn't just, you know, what he's saying here is the power of God's word, his voice, teach us his authority over things uncontrollable that we can't, but he does. He's all under his control. Yeah, quicker. So the second that a faith reveal is Jesus wants the disciple, and hopefully today want you and me to know, Jesus didn't give a big lecture to these frightened disciples and frustrated disciples and kind of confused disciples. He first took care of the stuff and then he said to them, why are you cowardly? Cowardly means you're losing heart. You say, oh man, what happened? Do you still have no faith? Or in Gospel or Matthew, we say, why you have little faith? Basically, Jesus saying that, what kind of faith do you have? To the disciples, it's lack of trust. Remember what Jesus said. He said, let's go over to the other side. If he is in the boat with me, so though is. If you are from Taiwan, Hong Kong, Asia, you know the typhoon, they go by numbers, right? I grew up in Hong Kong. So typhoon number 10 means, woo, no school. Right? But then, why do we know it is? Because the weather reports say so. So we trust that. In a sense, in here, they don't trust the one who's in the boat with them and tell them we're going to go over to the other side is the one who actually will bring them over to the other side. Do we have the same issues? Do I trust what God says, even though I may not understand it? Second, storm really is in our life cause a very important thing is a spiritual crisis. Because the scripture said, Then the disciple, because the storms calm, no more wind and waves. And actually, we studied the scripture when Jesus said, calm down. And we built the wind. Not just storm. The boat actually get to the other side. They don't have to row anymore. They're at the other side. So what it is saying is, they just, what happened? They were amazed. So the disciples said, they were overwhelmed. They couldn't comprehend what's going on. And so they talked to each other. They are afraid. Who is he? What he's telling us is he calmed the physical environment, right? They all experienced it. They saw it. But then they stir a spiritual crisis inside of them. They ask a question. Who is he? Is he really what I think he is? For us, for some of you young people, you grew up at church. You've been here since you're in your mommy's tummy. So for you, everything is as usual. But what the crisis happened in life is asking us, is this faith that I said I have is from my parents, from a tradition, or is really God change me? Did I truly subscribe to this faith? Do I have things that happen create crisis? And I close with a statement by a pastor. I enjoy reading his work a lot. He retired now. His name is Ken Hughes. He used to be a pastor in Chicago. He said, without difficulties, trials, stress, or even failures, we'll never grow to be what we should become. I have no idea what kind of crisis you're going through, or you're just cruising along in life. But at times, we have sudden events happen. And those sudden events is not accident. In the eyes of God, nothing is accident, but it's always under his plan. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, may you continue to work in our lives so that we know who you are. Thank you so much. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.